Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. The NBA Finals are set. The Stanley Cup Finals are starting right now. And things are heating up for our friend and friend of the program, Tarik Skubal. But we begin today's show with the blockbuster trades. Not the A.J. Brown one.
No.
The Cleveland Browns have traded three-time first-team All-Pro defensive end Myles Garrett to the Los Angeles Rams. Cleveland receives defensive end Jared Verse, 2027 first-round pick, a 2028 second-round pick, and the 2029 third-round pick in exchange for the reigning defensive player of the year. So, Z, when it comes to who won the trade, Cleveland, Los Angeles, give out some grades for both.
All right. So first things first, it's not Brown, it's the Browns. So that's what we're talking about. Different Brown. But you're looking at Myles Garrett, who's 30 years old, mind you. League leader, you know, defensive player of the year, 23 sacks, 43 solo tackles. So excellent, excellent year. In the short term, this is an A for the Rams, right? You get the coveted asset. Yes, you give up Jared Verse, who's very good, but 7.5 sacks is not 23. And you don't have to be a math major for that. 23 is greater than 7.5. But again, the number is 30 compared to Verse's 25. Now, if you can get something out of this package long term, because you got a first round, got a second round, got a third round, if you can get some guys, because you can get guys, right, in these positions. You didn't get a fifth. You didn't get a sixth. You got a first, a second, a third, and a starter. In the long term, if they do it right, and this is a big if considering it's Cleveland, they have, what, six quarterbacks on their roster? Mm-hmm. Something like that? You know? They're paying guys not to be there. In the long term, if they don't screw this up, the Cleveland Browns have the potential to win this trade in the long term. In the short term, A+ for the Rams. I gotta say, a solid B+, because we don't know what the picks are. We don't know what they're gonna be. Long term, great potential there. But there is something that's interesting. There is something interesting that's tied to this coming out of the Rams camp. Now, all of a sudden, there's smoke and scuttlebutt from one Mr. Aaron Donald. You see that the Rams get Myles Garrett. Oh, the juices are flowing again. I'm out of the game for 2 years. Maybe I can relight the fire. If you could relight Aaron Donald's fire and pair him with Myles Garrett, just give him the fucking trophy. Give him the Lombardi trophy right fucking now. If they manage to turn this trade into Myles Garrett and Aaron Donald, get the fuck out of here, man. Get out of here. So, I think that both teams did very well. This further cements the idea that the Rams are the favorite. Yes, I understand the Seahawks won the whole thing, but the Rams are still very well positioned. And Browns are going to Brown, but there's potential, provided they don't screw it up. But once again, it's Cleveland.
Yeah, Aaron Donald coming back would definitely change things.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty wild. And if you're him, why wouldn't you come back, right?
Right.
Why not? Because it's going to be fun. I'm not going to get double teamed. Can't double team me. Takes four guys to block Myles Garrett. Four guys. And he still gets penetration.
Still doesn't work.
I mean, hats off to the Rams because they're going all in, right? They know this is the last hurrah. Maybe a year more, year or two with Stafford. They've got Davante Adams. Puka Nacua's thinking to get suspended. You know, they're trying to go for it. Fuck them picks.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like this has been brewing for a while. The Rams were calling the Browns, and it began with fuck no, then sort of. Then you got to throw in a player to then, you know, getting a deal, right? I think if you're the Rams, yes, I think this is a home run for you. This is an A+. You know, you're going for it. You're bringing in veterans. You're bringing in players. You've already got, you know, your quarterback. You've got outstanding receivers. Great tight end. He's a good tight end. Good offensive line. Good running backs. Like, you're going for it. It just matters now. Stafford's got to stay healthy, which he probably will, right?
It's Stafford.
You did good. You did good. Could you have done better? I mean, if you now see this trade, right? Mm-hmm. You're seeing it, what it cost. It cost a first rounder. It cost Jared Verse, right? It cost a second rounder and a third rounder down the line.
Right.
You don't think somebody would have offered you more if they knew that was all you wanted?
I already got the guy for you. I already know what team. I think we all do. Let's not be crazy here. The other team that's doing this type of move, the Eagles. You're telling me that you put in Jalen Carter instead of Jared Verse? Like, that deal doesn't get done? I'm so impressed to say that's a no.
Yeah, so that was the only thing I got from my Browns perspective. Like, and I said they did good. I mean, Jared Verse is an Ohio guy. He's from Dayton, right? He's an up and coming young guy. I think he's 5 or 6 years younger than Myles Garrett. So you're getting the time. He's on his contract is manageable. It's nothing crazy. You can totally handle this. Cleveland, for the most part, drafts okay. They've gotten Denzel Ward. They got Myles Garrett. They're decent at drafting players. So you'd think that they'd be in the mix in the next 5 years. Or at the very least, you let Shador and Watson battle it out this year and you find out if you got a quarterback or not. You might not. You might have to use those picks to trade up to get a quarterback. I'm just thinking that if Myles Garrett was on the block and most teams were calling, you were telling them no, but the Rams kept calling and eventually you caved in. My only thing is that the best you could have gotten for him? You're telling me nobody was going to give you more? Look at the Micah Parsons deal. I would think he's better than Micah Parsons, right?
Yeah.
So that's my only... You said the Eagles. I would, you know,
dude,
I would
look,
say the Giants.
Look at the Max Crosby trade that didn't happen.
I'd say Baltimore. You're telling me Baltimore? You could have gotten this guy in division. I don't know if they give a shit about that. But that's my only thing. It's like, I just think Cleveland could have done more. I mean, the contract was stupid. And they had to give him that money to make him come in the building. But the other part of this is I haven't taken a look at the numbers, but I got to imagine that how the Rams paying all these people. Like, how are they paying Stafford? How are they paying Myles Garrett? How are they paying Davante Adams? How are they paying everybody?
Somebody's got to take a pay cut. Like, that's right. That's the only thing.
I think he's going to make $30 million, something like that, this year. Like, I don't know. I just look at that cap number again. But, no, I mean, so for I'd say the Browns got a B+. But they weren't going to do anything with Myles Garrett. I mean, let's be real.
No.
They weren't.
No.
It didn't make sense in being there. The only other thing I would say, too, is, like, I know, listen, he's a disruptor. He's a problem. 100%, not a doubt. I look at him as more of a pass rusher.
Mm.
There's not a lot of passers in that division, right? I mean, we're not really worried about Jacoby Brissett, who hasn't even come to the Cardinals facility. And if I was him, I wouldn't come at all now. I mean, the 49ers, I would take them as a short passing running team. Nope. Christian McCaffrey, shit.
Yeah.
And Seattle, I mean, Kenneth Walker won that Super Bowl MVP. It was mostly a rushing attack. Yes, they have Jackson Smith and Ojigba, and he's an outstanding wide receiver, but Sam Darnold lighting the world on fire? I don't think so. I mean, when you were in the North, he had to deal with Joe Burrow. He had to deal with Lamar Jackson. You know, so these are prolific quarterback athletes and passers of the football. Aaron Rodgers is there, but before Aaron Rodgers, you know, you had Ben. So, I don't know. I mean, bravo to the Rams, but I don't know.
I think he's also going to be going up against, with the exception of the Cardinals, because the Cardinals are the Cardinals, he's going to go up a bit against better offensive lines, I find. Like, you're going up against Trent Williams. Like, That's gonna
I don't know if he's on that side. He's not on that side.
Move him around. Like, that's the thing about Miles.
Nah.
He's a player. Like, he'll move around.
We're not going to put him over there. Why would we put him over there? Right. It takes three guys to fucking slow him down and four guys to stop him. Like,
yeah, so it's going to happen anyway. You're a player. You're going to go wherever the scheme tells you to go. The Seattle Seahawks, good offensive line, right? So that's going to be something that you're going to see. Like, the competition is better on the other side of the ball. Now, let's also see, like, who he's getting paired with. The Aaron Donald thing could be a game changer.
Yeah, that changes the game.
That changes the whole thing altogether.
That changes the whole fucking thing.
Because then it's like, who do you block? Good fucking luck.
Yeah, I mean, in that situation, I'm doubling Garrett. And we're going to not run in Aaron Donald's direction. I got to stop that man. I have to stop him from killing my quarterback.
Right.
I'm not going to. I'll deal with Aaron Donald, who's been 2 years out of the league.
Two years out of the league.
Cut him.
He's healthy.
Cut him. Just dive at his knees. Dive at his ankles. Slow him down. Tell him a story. Spit in his ear. Just keep him off my ass. You know?
Much.
So,
like, that's where you are right now. But this is, you know, this is Super Bowl or bust. Like, this is it. Like, this is it.
This is it. And they might have one more after this year. But
that depends on Stafford, though, man. I really think, I mean, because what are you looking at, right? You're looking at Stetson Bennett, I think. Or you're looking at, you know, Ty Simpson.
That's who you're looking at.
You know, that's a hell of a drop-off from Matthew Stafford to Stetson Bennett and Ty Simpson. So, you know,
yeah,
I mean, this
it's supposed
might
to be Ty Simpson in like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be. So,
yeah. And so a veteran bridge might be necessary to kind of keep this thing going the way they want it to.
Kind of makes sense now. Now that you think of, now that you see the move that they make, the draft makes a little bit more sense now. Now
yes.
It makes sense why you're taking Ty Simpson now, because you knew you were forfeiting picks in the next couple of years.
Right.
And you're, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I think I'm excited to see it. I don't know if they're the Super Bowl favorite, but they're definitely going to have a great defense. I'll be taking that defense first in my fantasy draft.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
So, finally, the NBA Finals are here.
Let's go.
They will feature the New York Knicks and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs are favored, but they lost the NBA Cup to the Knicks. They were blown out by the Knicks in the regular season. Bettors are betting heavily on the Knicks to win the chip right now. So what will be the keys to the Knicks' success for them to win this series?
So in any seven-game series, because this is I'm expecting six. One way or the other, I'm expecting six games. I don't think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep. I don't see it. But health, absolutely health for the Knicks. They have been very fortunate in terms of getting this far, with the only injury being Mitchell Robinson's pinky. Now, he's questionable for game one, right? Long term in the series, could you get back into things? Absolutely. He could. Game one, he's questionable. Okay. Health is an issue, right? Not being tested enough. We've been saying that. The Knicks have not been tested enough. They got through. Their biggest test was the Hawks in the first round.
CJ McCollum and the Hawks.
The Hawks put a scare.
Jonathan Kuminga and the Hawks.
The Hawks put a scare into them. But then the Knicks rose above it and they won. So they're playing a team that's much better than the Hawks. They're playing a team that's much better than the Sixers. They're playing a team that's much better than the Cavs. And they have a freak in Wemby. They have a guy. Now there's a guy who is a game changer. You want to talk about Aaron Donald being a disruptor? Wemby's a fucking disruptor. Right? He's 7'4", 7'2", something like that, with like an 8-foot wingspan. Dude's a fucking giant. And he can shoot, and he can play, and he can handle the ball. Like, this is unlike anything you have played so far. Yes, you won in the regular season in isolated games. Yes, you won the NBA Cup. This is a series. You need to adjust. They're going to adjust to you. You have to get out of there as healthy as you can. For the Spurs, they have to contain Jalen Brunson. They have to figure out how to do that. So are they going to double? Are they just going to move him into Wemby's frame and just have Wemby just kind of lay all over him and just kind of use his size and impose his will on Jalen Brunson, because Jalen Brunson is significantly smaller, and rely on Cat and rely on Mikal Bridges and dare those guys to beat the Spurs? Like, maybe that's the game plan. Maybe that's what they're going to try and do. Take out Brunson and go from there. I am anticipating that this is going to be back and forth. It's going to be a slugfest. Neither team presents itself as teams that are just going to like roll over and take it. Both teams have faced a little bit of adversity. More recently, it's been the Spurs. My head is saying Spurs in six. My heart, I'm saying that I want the Knicks, right? The Knicks have the drought. It's the rematch of the NBA Cup. It's the rematch of 99. You have demons to exercise. You have the story, the Knicks not having won in 50 years. Like, that's the story. But it comes down to health. It comes down to adjustments. For the Knicks, it's how do you contain Wemby? For the Spurs, it's how do you contain Brunson? And who steps up to be the guy? Is it Cat? Is it Mikal Bridges? Is it Dylan Harper? Is it Champagne? Who is it? St. John's own. Who's it going to be? Who's the man that's going to step up? Who's going to be the Pippen to the Jordan? Who's going to do it? Who's going to be the Robin to the Batman? Who's going to be the hero? Who wants it the most? At the end of the day, that's what they're paying Cat for. That's what they're paying him for. He's supposed to be the guy. They're paying him like the guy.
That's what the money's for.
That's what the money. You will get your flowers. You will get your recognition. You're young. Your ideas are there. Oh, God. Mad Men, great show. But that's what they're paying Cat for. They have yet to pay Dylan Harper, though. But we shall see. We shall see.
I mean, it's a dream matchup for the NBA, right? I mean, you get the New York Knicks. You get that fan base. You get the 53-year drought, those rabid fans. And then you get the Spurs, who may or may not have the new face of the league in Wembanyama coming in. You know, the NBA has a problem because the average margin of victory in all the games has been 17 points, which is awful. It's god-awful. So you're hoping for a much more competitive series. For me, I disagree with you. I think it's a four-game sweep. It's the Knicks in four.
Whoa!
You know, basically, this is a team. The Spurs are a young team. They haven't gone through this yet, okay? They haven't gone through defeat. They haven't gone through heartbreak. The Knicks are a better team, right? Team. They're a better team, okay? They have guys on that team that have won national championships. They have guys in this team that have been playing together for quite some time now. Only a year ago, this was a 30-win Spurs team, okay? They took out a Thunder team because they exploited them. They exploited their weaknesses. They took advantage of their one-dimensional play at times. They took advantage of the fact that they had players that were hurt. And they played with their hair on fire. I mean, their whole starting lineup in the last game seven were in double digits. I don't know if they can keep that energy going. I don't know what they're going to be like when they get to Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. I don't know if Wemby can handle the lava, the loudness, the Knicks fans. I mean, when you're in New York City, you can't go out. You can't go. I hope you're not staying in New York. Hope their ops guys got them staying in Connecticut, staying in New Jersey, maybe staying in Philadelphia. Do not stay in New York. Get them out of here. Come in just to play the game and go right home after that.
They're getting Dodge before the World Cup starts, so I think that is going to benefit them.
I would assume that they're going to put Dylan Harper and Champagne on Brunson.
Yeah.
Because they're bigger and stronger than he is. I mean, what he does is he takes advantage of guards that play against him because he's crafty. He's not quicker than you. He's crafty. And he can put his shoulder into you and he can fade away and take his lefty shot that he does. And he can, you know, go off his pivot foot and then jump to the basket and put the ball in. I don't think it's going to be much of a problem. I think OG Anunoby will be great against Wemby. He's the only player in the whole league that really gives Wemby a problem. So as long as OG is playing, they should be fine. I don't think Wemby could really guard Cat. Their backup center, Cornette, is not that good. I mean, I would be more concerned with Castle. I don't know if they're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to let Wemby kill us or are we going to let Castle kill us? And I would think that they're going to say let Castle kill them. And as long as he's not going to put up 30 or 40 points. He'll get his, but he turns the ball over. He's a turnover machine. So I've got the Knicks in four. I'd be shocked if it ended any other way. And I think I just hope it's a good series. Like, I want to see, even if the Knicks win in four, give me close games. Give me 5, 4, 10. Keep it under 10. It's been miserable watching the last few games. Every game it's over by halftime. It's like these teams got to come back and they can't get it within 10. So that's where I stand. Those are my keys to victory. And I think the Knicks are going to win their first title.
I mean, we'll see, because if you're looking at it over the course of the series and series averages, it's only 4 points. They're remarkably close. Both teams, both sides are remarkably close in terms of their statistics. My concern is the fact that Wemby is so big, and the Nick Bigs aren't that good.
But they trashed him. They trashed him in the regular season. They trashed him in the NBA Cup. He can't do it all. Look! Remember, LeBron got to the finals. I think in 2010 with Cleveland, and he just had a bunch of scrubs on his team. He got him all the way to the finals against the Spurs. They played the Spurs. He's scoring all the points, but there's nobody else helping him. He's like, I can't do it all.
Yeah, but
I don't think Wemby really has a supporting cast. I think the team around him is good. They're not NBA championship good. I mean, I would think that Mike Brown's a better coach than the Spurs head coach, right? So we're going to see if Becky Hammon was right or wrong.
We are. We are definitely going to see it because, you know, this is finally – it's finally crunch time for Jalen Brunson. Now, I mean, it's hard to say that this team isn't better than those LeBron teams, right? Because you have like Mo Williams and Zydrunas Ilgauskas. Like, they're fine players. Fine players. Fine. But you have a guy who took it over. That's why, like, having Dylan Harper, I think, is going to be great for the Spurs. Because he's a talented kid. He could take over this series if they decide, fuck it, we're taking Wemby up.
You know, he's not there yet. I think he has the talent, and I think eventually he will get there. He's just not there yet. He's like a James Harden in the wing. Like, he's the sixth man. He comes off the bench. But in time, yeah, he's going to be their best defender. He's going to probably be their second best scorer. He's super athletic. He plays really good defense. He gets rebounds. He passes the ball. He's great under the basket. He's just too raw, man. He just needs another year or two.
You never know. I mean, that's why we play the games, because who would have thought that J.J. Barea would have been an X factor for the Mavericks, right? You never know who's going to step up until it's time for them to step up.
Michael Dellavedova.
Oh, God, Matthew Dellavedova. Jesus Christ. Aussie, yeah. Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at like a guy like Landry Shamet. Like, Landry Shamet could be the guy that shoots lights out. He could be the guy that kind of is the unstoppable force. You don't know. That's why sports is unpredictable. Like, I'm just like you, I'm hoping for a good series. I just want something that is going to be close. I want something that's going to be compelling. The last thing you want is 20-point blowouts in either direction, because you're wasting
20-point blowouts. I don't want another injury. We had the Tyrese Haliburton injury last year. I don't want a Wemby injury. I don't want a Brunson injury. These guys have been playing for fucking 2 months now to the NBA fucking playoffs. So I'm just hoping that we get some kind of competitive basketball.
It would be great.
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
It would absolutely be great. But speaking of competitive, from one final series to the other final series, the Stanley Cup Finals has started, with Carolina Hurricanes taking on the Vegas Torts Knights. Currently, Carolina's up 2-1. In the first period. It's prediction time. Who you got? How many games? What are the keys to victory?
Yeah, so I'm sticking with the hot team. I think the Carolina Hurricanes are due, man. I just think they are. I love their coach. I love their boring style of play. Get in the neutral zone and just be big. Just be bigger than you are. Hopefully Anderson can hold up as the goalie. That's the only thing I worry about. Can you take the barrage? Can you take the fire coming from the Vegas Golden Knights? You know, I don't doubt that the Vegas Golden Knights could win this. They certainly could. They've got the coaching to do it. They've certainly gotten the talent to do it. I'd say my prediction is more of a hopeful one, because the Carolina Hurricanes have been banging on this door for so many years now. And all the teams that have been getting in their way all this time, they finally overcame it. You know, they were able to beat Montreal. They were able to beat the, you know, they were able to get over the hump here and get in here. So I'm rooting for them. I want them to win. I think they're a good group. They're a strong group. And I like their style of hockey. That's the kind of hockey I like. I like it to be boring. I like them to get in the neutral zone, use the power play, bully you, you know. The Vegas Golden Knights are flashy. Tortorella did a great job of changing their mindset and getting the best out of their best players. And they play fast. They play heady. But I'm hoping to see the Hurricanes in five.
So, like you, I have the Hurricanes in five, but not for that same reason. I just think that the Vegas Golden Knights were on such a run, and they're playing over their head. They are playing over their head in a lot of cases. Yes, you have talented players like Eichel and Marner and Barbashev and, you know, Brett Howden.
Marner's a beast.
Yeah. Brett Howden has been competing. You have like Mark Stone. You're deep. You are. And you dispatch the Avalanche pretty damn quickly. You dispatch those. You expose them as a fraudulent team. You're not getting that with Carolina. They are deep and they are well coached. And their goalie is hotter than your goalie. As good as Carter Hart has been, this is not the first series where they've gone up against a good team with a hot goalie. Carolina's dispatched them all relatively quickly. Like 12-1 in the playoffs? Yeah. Pretty damn good. Pretty good. Pretty, pretty good. So the key, Carolina, is to muck it up, right? Don't give guys like Marner and Eichel and Stone, don't give them time and space to create. Be in their face. Sticks in the passing lanes. Forecheck. Grind them down. Do what you do, because what you do works. What you do works. It's a lot like the Knicks. What you do works. Don't deviate from the plan. Play your game. Because there's a reason why they only had 92 points. There's a reason why they had to make a coaching change at the end of the year. There's a reason why Torts had to kick them in the ass to get them this far. They were not playing up to potential. You're just as good. You have just as much firepower. You are just as well coached. But you have that consistency on your side, and consistency matters, right? Who stays the most within themselves? Who doesn't start squeezing their stick when things don't start going your way? Who doesn't take stupid penalties? Who doesn't let the emotion of the series take over? We've seen that many times, that's Carolina. Carolina has proven it time and time again. What's gotten them has been teams that play their way, who try to muck them up and grind them down. We saw that why they couldn't handle the Rangers. The Rangers got in the trenches with them and survived. It was a war of attrition. I don't know if the Golden Knights are willing to get into that war of attrition. I think they're just going to want to be the skill, ticky-tack, fast and loose. I think they're going to want to go that way because we've seen it be effective. But Carolina, they're big, they're strong, they're tough, they're loaded. And if Freddie Anderson is on his game, it's over, Johnny. It's over. It's over, Johnny.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com. Well, speaking of it being over, the Detroit Tigers are 8-22 since losing their pitcher Tarek Skubal, who's scheduled to come back soon. Scooble has been on the minds of many Major League Baseball teams as he approaches a return from his injured elbow. The Milwaukee Brewers have emerged as a new suitor, which would be reminiscent of the Brewers acquiring CeCe Sabathia and making a playoff run many years ago. So, could Scooble do what CeCe did for the Brewers?
No, because I don't think he's going to the Brewers. You have to take into account. And here's
some of his numbers are just fucking stupid.
It's ridiculous.
I'm just being honest with you.
No.
Like, his numbers, I think I sent it to you.
Ridiculous.
It's not believable. You have to read it twice and you're like, that can't be real. That can't be true. Did this guy really only give up 6 home runs to left-handed pitchers in his left-handed hitters his whole career?
It's absurd.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It's absurd. What?
And the 6 guys are like really good players, like Freddie Freeman, Corbin Carroll. It's big name guys.
Yeah.
6 home runs in like over 121 appearances? What the fuck?
It's absolutely absurd.
So if you're a team that's in the National League and you know you're going to have to face the Dodgers, hello, the Dodgers have predominantly left-handed studs like Ohtani, like Freddie Freeman. Like the guy who they get, the right fielder, Kyle Tucker. Wouldn't it make sense to go get a guy that never gives up home runs to left-handed hitters?
Here's the problem, though. You have to outbid the Dodgers. Good fucking luck.
Yeah.
Good fucking luck. Not only do you have to outbid the Dodgers, but then you assume, at least I do, that once you get him, you gotta extend him. You cannot let him get to free agency, because guess where he's going?
He's a Boris guy. He's not gonna sign.
Which means he's gonna go to the Dodgers.
He's going to the Dodgers regardless.
He's going to the Dodgers one way or the other.
Right. So he will be a Dodger.
Right. My thing is this. Are you gonna pay 3 top prospects or a position player off your roster and prospects for a rental?
I wonder how much the new CBA is playing into teams that will trade for him.
Yeah.
And I wonder what kind of effort they'll make to lock him up because of the new CBA, which they don't know what's going to happen. That's something to think about there.
Good question. I mean, we are going to talk about the CBA in a second, but this would have been like, if this was a couple of years ago, it would have been like, okay, cool. It's the Dodgers or the Padres, one or the other. I don't see the Padres being in on this. I don't think they can afford
him. They should be.
I don't know if
they should be.
No.
What?
I don't know if they can afford him prospect-wise because they traded their best player, DeVries. They traded him for Mason Miller.
Right.
So unless you're trading, I don't know. Like Ethan Salas, Cruz Schoolcraft, Miguel Mendez. I don't know if these are attractive. They may be attractive to the Tigers because they're relatively young and they should be there in like 1 or 2 years. But I'm very hard pressed to think of another
team. The Yankees like rentals.
The Yankees
they
like rentals.
Soto.
The Yankees like rentals. But the problem is that are you trading George Lombard for a rental? They're going to want Lombard. Are you trading Lombard? Are you trading?
They're going to send. They'll send Spencer Jones. They'll send Volpe.
LaGrange. Would you send LaGrange?
They'll send LaGrange. They're not going to send Lombard.
That's the thing. If I'm the Tigers, I want Lombard. That's who I want. I want the guy who's...
It's hard for them to give him up, especially if they know they're not going to be able to re-sign him.
Prospect hugger strike again.
Right.
Fucking Cashman.
But in that situation, they know that they're not going to be able to re-sign Scooble. They know they're not going to get him to sign a contract before the end of the season. Maybe Scott wouldn't do it, but if they were able to get a promise or get some kind of consideration where he would sign an extension, then maybe you give up Lombard. But maybe. He's not giving up Lombard.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, you're going to want, I want some assurance that I'm at least going to get I'm at least going to get a call, right? I'm at least going to get an opportunity to match some offers, you know? Like a team like the Cubs, another team that would be hard-pressed not to get in on this, right? You can send them Wiggins, you can send them Conrad, you can send them Alcantara, you can send them Rojas. There are players in that system. You have Kane Kepley lighting it up for the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. Like, you have guys in that system, and you need pitching, right? Justin Steele's not there. Cade Horton's not there. Imanaga's been okay. Tarik Skubal, you are now taken seriously. And you keep him off the Dodgers. I'm hard-pressed to see anybody else, though. I mean, the Mets aren't going to do it. The Mets might fucking sell people off as it is. Because they're fucking in a trash way. I don't see... I mean, maybe the Phillies? Like, if the Phillies are... If they find
them... I thought about that, too. I don't think they have the prospects.
I don't think so. The Braves, would they trade Cam Caminiti?
We don't do shit like that.
Right.
We don't do that
stuff. Right. So then...
They're counting on Schwellenbach coming back.
Okay. I mean, Red Sox, no. Orioles, no. Diamondbacks, no. Astros, no. Astros are fucking terrible.
Orioles. Orioles could...
Orioles could, but where are they in the standings? Are they in a position where they think they can make a run? I know the extra wild card gives.
Man, imagine Tampa did it. Oh, that'd be so great.
don't look past.
They won't do it.
The Blue Jays.
Yeah, the Blue Jays could
Johnny
do it.
Johnny King, Tiedemann, Stanifer, JoJo Parker, Nimola. You have guys. You have players. Right now. They may want
Seattle
to that rotation. Jesus Christ. Like, that would be amazing if they could add
in that ballpark.
In that ballpark with that rotation.
Forget it. Forget it.
I mean, we're just going to bunt. I'd want Colt Emerson. I'd want their top prospect. I doubt they would do that. But they have some guys that are close. So maybe. And you pair Skubal with Castillo, Wu, Kirby. Wow. Damn. But I don't know. I think that teams are going to get scared. They're going to get scared by the collective bargaining agreement. And I don't know if they're going to be willing to part with what's necessary to get this guy. Which makes for interesting situations for teams like the Royals, right? Where they're going to have like guys like Seth Lugo. Like, okay, I'm not willing to spend on Tarik Skubal. Maybe I can spend less and get Seth Lugo.
Or the other guy that's going to be on the market is Robbie Ray.
Robbie Ray would definitely get a look. You know, there's plenty of talent out there where it's all about the price tag. Everybody's got a price, and are you willing to pay? Right. And very few teams are in the position to do it, and very few teams have the wherewithal to do it. The Brewers would be interesting, right? You trade them Jet Williams, you trade them Cooper Pratt or Luis Lara. Like, you have some guys, right? Even if you're tired, even if you don't think Sproat is where you want, you move Sproat in the trade. Have Sproat go to the Tigers. You know, it's possible. But is Milwaukee re-signing him? Is he? No. Not going to happen. Sorry, folks. Park's closed. Moose out front should have told you. He's going to L.A. one way or the other.
I love L.A.
Well.
Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
I don't know about loving LA, but the CBA. Yes, the CBA. We were talking about it. Let's get to it. Major League Baseball owners formally proposed a hard salary cap of $245 million and a floor of $171.2 million for the 2027 season. 50-50 revenue split, centralized local television revenue. This was strongly rejected by the Players Association, countering with a competitive integrity tax on low-spending teams. So taxing the teams that aren't spending well or who can't spend because, yeah, interesting. Interesting strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it plays off. Have we stepped closer or have we stepped farther away from the lockout in 2027?
We're not even sitting at the table.
Shit.
We're not even sitting at the table. Like, people, Bryce Harper made some good points. You know, he said that it's going to be a problem if they can't get to a middle ground and they have to forfeit games because there's other things to watch. There's other things going on. People are going to be occupied with other things. And you know what? I get it from both sides. I do. I really get it from both sides. Because it makes sense for an owner to say, hey, man, like, I need the valuation of my team to go up. And it can't go up if I can't get a hold of how much I'm spending on my team every year. You know, if I can't get a hold of what's my salary cap number? What's my operating expenses here? I can't see my values go up. But on the player side, I could see it's like, yo, I'm not having a salary cap. I like the Dodgers. I like what the Dodgers are doing. I like what the Yankees do. I like what the Mets do. Figure it out. Find other ways to pay people. Find other ways to make money. I don't give a shit. I want my money. The minimum going to 1.3 million? Wow. Just wow. That's a wow number, isn't it? I get both sides. And I don't believe in expansion. I don't know what the middle ground is, Z, because I can't see how you're asking a team that only spends $70 or $60 million on payroll to come up $100 million just to avoid a tax, just to play. I have to spend over $170 million. Fuck off. Like, fuck off. I'm not spending that. I don't have to. I'm getting by just with fine the way the Tampa Bay Rays, we have the second best record in the league. I don't need to spend money. I don't need to. You want to spend money? You spend it. You spend it. I don't have to. It's a business, right? Right? I'm keeping my expenses down. I'm keeping my margins low. I'm keeping margins high. Come at me, bruh. So, I don't know. I don't know what the middle ground is. I really don't. Because then the other part is you have the cap at 245. What about all the teams that are over that already?
Right.
How much time are you going to give them to come down? And what are they supposed to do with their players?
When the NHL came out of their lockout, the salaries were in such a way that they instituted the buyout clauses, where teams could buy out some onerous contracts. So that might be something that's on the table. So like a guy like, for example, the Orioles are still paying Chris Davis, don't you know?
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. So like, you know, a team that has buyer's remorse, the Rockies with Chris Bryant. You're telling me they wouldn't buy out his contract if they were given the opportunity to do so? I think they would. We're not even freaking close, man. Like, the numbers are so far apart because you have teams like the Athletics, the teams like the Rays, the Marlins, who on paper are fielding non-competitive teams because they don't pay anybody. The problem is that they're
fielding... Marlins are good.
They're fielding competitive teams because we don't play on paper, right? You look at the names on the rosters, you're like, this guy here is dead. Like, what are we doing here? Right? You look like you have a quadruple A team, but the Marlins come out and compete, and they compete for cheap. The Rays compete for cheap. The Guardians lead the Central, competing for cheap. So this is what they do. Now, teams like the Yankees, teams like the Mets, teams like the Red Sox, teams like the Dodgers, they're inflating the overall cost of doing business. That's not going to change. Outside of something radical, right? Like, think of how these things occurred. It was the elimination of the reserve clause, and then free agency, and then the raising of salaries. Like, this has been a progressive movement from Major League Baseball to go from salary suppression to a free market. This is true free market economics, right? You have the rich getting richer and then the poor just barely hanging out, right? The Rays invested in a new roof. Like, that was their big free agent signing this offseason. We got a roof.
God, we can actually play games in our ballpark again.
We don't have to worry about Steinbrenner Field in fucking July. Ooh, that's going to be hot. You know? I don't see it. The 50-50 split, that's fine from a revenue sharing standpoint. I don't think you're going to get anywhere by taxing the poor team, the air quote poor teams. I think that's a non-starter.
I'm not doing it because I got to. So wait, you're telling me that I got to come out of my pocket? I got to take from my savings? I got to take from my other investments and pump $100 million into this team for what? For me to still lose in five games to the Yankees?
Correct.
Fuck out of here.
Right. Every player
is an investment. I do what I want with it. I shouldn't be forced to spend a certain amount. And this is a completely 180 from the way I felt when I was younger. When I was younger, I bitched and moaned and cried all about how baseball needed a salary cap. I hated the idea that the Yankees just outspent everybody. They beat everybody's brains in. They took all everybody's good players and played against them and won six World Series or five World Series in 9 years. I bitched and complained and it pissed me to fuck off. But you know what? It was okay back then. It's okay now too. Not going to change anything now. Leave it the way it is. You want to compete? You compete. You don't want to compete? Don't compete. It's all up to you. You do whatever you want to do with your team. It's your team. You don't want to play there? Don't go play there. Go play for the Yankees. Go play for the Dodgers. Go play for the Red Sox. Go play for the teams that spend. But if you're hungry and you really want a job, you might play for those Marlins. You might play for those Rays. And then maybe someday you could put on the pinstripes.
Problem with that is that you have a very short career, right?
Not in baseball.
Your prime in baseball is short.
Not in baseball. What are you talking about? What's the average career for a baseball player? It's more than 7 years.
How many of them are good, though?
It's more than 7 years. It's better than the NFL. The NFL is only 3 years. The average player plays 3 years.
But now, pitchers, it's even shorter now. Now, because we're just teaching them to max out every single pitch. So your arm is going to look like friggin' hamburger. Like, your shoulder is going to be shot. So
possibly.
You're trying to maximize as much as you can and as quick as you can. Like, that's where we're going. So you're going to $1.3 million from $780,000. So that means that every player making the league minimum next year is automatically going to get a $500,000 raise.
Woohoo!
That's great. Awesome. Bully for you. So that in turn is going to automatically inflate your salary floor. So,
and nobody talks about what this means for operating expenses for a team. You want me to spend $100 million more dollars? I'm not paying my front office people. I'm not paying my grounds crew.
No.
Taking care of my stadium. No, like, you're taking money from other places.
Who does it generally get passed on to? Who do these
fans?
The fans, right. So when your already expensive Coors Light is now double what you were paying the year before, there's a reason why. They've passed those costs on to you. When your hot dog that was $7 is now $21, you know, that's all you need to know. Things go up. Things never go down. And if they do go down, it's for a day, right? It's a special promotion, like 10-cent beer night. Yeah. That's when you do that. You're not doing 10-cent beer night all year. Jesus Christ. That would be insane. Now, but the costs are always passed on. Or they're built into your ticket prices. Like when your season tickets come around and they're more expensive, you wonder why. The whole goal is to keep your money in your pocket. And that's business. right? You want to get your money out of their pocket, not yours. So there needs to be a way to make this more palatable for owners. Because the owners are the ones that spend the money. Yes, the players or the talent, they can demand all they want. They can demand the sun, the moon, the stars. But if there's only a handful of teams that are willing to spend, that also creates an issue. Because there's only so many spots for each team, right? There's only 26 roster spots. So they're not going to spend on everybody. It's rough. Now, maybe, you know, the floor is too high for some teams and the cap is too low. Like, that's what, 3 Juan Sotos? You know, it's like, it's 3 Juans, you know, it's like, it's absurd. 245 times, yeah, 245 times 3 is about Juan Soto's contract. So, that's absurd. It's absurd. Like, thankfully, Otani's taking like a buck a year. Like, good for you, man. Like, how are you going to do this? Because right now, there's such a wide margin that there is no choice but a lockout. And I don't know who needs to get serious. I don't know which side, to be honest with you. Because maybe expectations are too high from the players, too. Yes, I get you want to make as much money as you can, but it is, you know, it's a little astronomical. Look at the other leagues around that have salary caps and see where they are. Now, granted, a lot of them have bigger rosters. Like, the NFL, it's double a major league roster. So, yeah, they need to have a bigger salary cap. They need to have a larger salary cap. But do your research, do your due diligence, come up with a proposal, and try to find halfway. Somewhere in there. It's in there somewhere. I don't know when you're going to find it. But right now, we are a hell of a long way away from that.
Quantum Squares offers scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ, and you can use that at quantumsquares.com.
Bullshit or no shit? We're going to debunk this week's most controversial topics, right?
All right, boys and girls, we have some statements, and they're either bullshit or no shit. Bullshit or no shit, number one. The A.J. Brown trade makes the New England Patriots Super Bowl contenders.
I mean, they were contenders without him, right? They got there last year. And who they got to beat in the AFC East? The Dolphins? The sorry Bills? Yeah.
The Jets.
The Jets?
Sorry, I couldn't even get that out of a straight face.
Patrick Mahomes coming off of an injured knee. I don't really believe in Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Sure. So, I'm going to say no shit.
Does this make them better than a Bronco team that should have beaten them if they had Bo Nix? I don't know. I think it's about the same. Because he's replacing Stephon Diggs, basically. He's a better player than Stephon Diggs.
Bigger, stronger.
1,000 yards, 78 receptions, 7 tutties. this boils down to Drake May. A.J. Brown was able to get that with Jalen Hurts. Drake May faded in the playoffs. He faded in the Super Bowl. He did not look like the guy.
Let's not forget who the OC there is.
Yes. Yeah. It's all so true. All so true.
They will find a way to get him the ball.
They will. Well, they have no choice because he will run his mouth until he gets the ball.
But Josh McDaniels has had Randy Moss. He's had Dante Stallworth. He's had Wes Welker. He's had Stephon Diggs. He'll get him the ball.
No, it will happen. It will happen. But it boils down to, is Drake May the guy who's going to get them the ball? They'll scheme it all day long. Is Drake May the guy? I like to think he's the guy because he was hurt. He's clearly hurt going into the title game and the Super Bowl. But if you were to put those two teams, the Broncos and the Patriots, everything healthy, all things being equal, I'm still taking the Broncos over the Patriots. I would say this puts them... I don't like where the Chiefs are. So I think the Chiefs are sliding back. So I think this puts them ahead of the Chiefs. So that if it takes them from 3-2, then you got to say no shit. Because if it moves you from 3-2, that means you're in the AFC title game. That sounds pretty contenderish to me. Bullshit or no shit. Number two, the New York Football Giants improved their wide receiver room.
Bullshit. Why? Because they picked up washed up OBJ? Guy can't get open. Can't get open. He can't stay healthy. I mean, I don't know what kind of circus they're running over there. You got the quarterback attending Trump rallies. Carter complaining about the quarterback. Yeah, go sign Antonio Brown too. How's he going? Fuck it. Fucking circus.
Oh, my God.
Bullshit.
Well, considering the fact... considering that the wide receiver room last year was Malik Nabers on one leg, Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton, and... yeah, Jalen Hyatt, who can't catch a cold. You gotta say this is an improvement.
What?
They were so bad. They were so nondescript. Slayton moves into your three, you figure. Because they didn't just bring in Odell Beckham, right? They brought in Calvin Austin. They brought in Juju. They brought in Darnell Mooney. They brought in Braxton Berrios for kick returning. It got better. But it's because it was a low bar. That's what makes it no shit. The bar was so low that they had no choice but to get better, right? Theo Johnson and Daniel Bellinger were Jackson Dart's main men. Like, that's what you were working with last year, right? Now they drafted Malachi Fields. Maybe they'll get something better out of wideout. Malik Nabers, hopefully he returns to form and stays on the field. It's a lot of question marks between Nabers and Scadaboo and Dart. Like, this is supposed to be your young core. I don't know. We're going to find out. But in terms of talent from year one to year two, it is an improvement. It had no choice but to be. So, no shit. Bullshit or no shit. Number three, Russell Wilson will have an excellent career as a broadcaster.
Bullshit. I mean, I think he'll be good. It'll be good. I mean, he was a good quarterback. He was a good professional quarterback. He was a good college quarterback. He's a good husband. He's a good father. He's just good. He's just good. That's what he is. So, he's a good bullshitter, too. So, I mean, he excels at that, for sure. He was a good Bronco, good Seahawk, good Giant.
Good Steeler.
Good Steeler. Yeah,
good Yankee. He was in Ranger. Yankees training. Good Ranger.
Good Ranger.
Good Rockies. Drafted by the Rockies.
I'll just say he's good.
Okay. So, that's fair. That's fair. When you're looking at former players who have tried the booth on or have tried the analyst table out and didn't do that well, you look at a guy like Jason Witten, you look at a guy like Drew Brees. Drew Brees is boring. I'm sorry. Like you can't tell me otherwise. I was bored to tears listening to Drew Brees. Tom Brady grew on me. He's not great. And that's saying something. You know, Tom Brady's great at everything he does. He's not great at this. Right? Tony Romo started out great, and he has slid back. He's just, you know, Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen's decent. Like, I don't see it. What other people see in Greg Olsen, I don't see.
I like Vilma.
Jonathan Vilma's good. I like Jonathan Vilma. I liked Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez brought...
I like Mark Sanchez, too. I like him in an alley fight. I like him on my team.
I like Mark Sanchez in an alleyway high on PCP.
Mark, are you trying to steal my truck? I would invite kill Mark Sanchez right now. Is this really happening? Mark, what are you doing back here? Mark, stop following me. Mark, stop following me. I'm going to hurt you.
Mark, it's cold outside. Why are you sweating? What the hell? Before he broke down.
Before he became a lunatic.
Before he went crazy. Mark Sanchez actually was a pretty competent color commentator.
I like Tony Dungy. I like Jason Garrett.
Garrett's decent. Dungy, hit or miss. He's kind of boring. I mean, Russell Wilson will just be in the mix.
He's an analyst, from what I understand, right? So he's going to be in the studio, right?
Yeah. So if you're
looking at that... He's not calling games, right?
No. But if you're looking at that, then it's guys like Gronk, Howie Long, Michael Strahan. You know,
I'm kind of done with that crew. I mean, they were fun when I was growing up, but I don't watch them anymore. I actually like ESPN better now. So I'll watch that group.
I watched NFL Today. I was more of an NFL.
I like Nate Burleson.
Burleson's okay.
I find him to be very very intelligent the way he talks.
No, Nate Burleson knows. Yeah, no. And he's a very
professional.
You can tell that he has done broadcasting, you know, like he's on Good Morning America, like he has, like he's polished.
Yeah, he's very polished.
He's very polished, and he's gone through the training necessary to become polished. He didn't just, you know, kind of like walk in off the street.
Dresses well, good with kids.
Yeah, tipped well, like excellent towards animals. But then a guy like J.J. Watt, he's decent in an analyst role. He's decent. You know,
Tony Gonzalez is an analyst or a player. I really could care. I'm tired of hearing about him. The guy did nothing.
Tony Gonzalez was fine.
All right.
For Russ, you just got to be able to communicate what you know, right? And you have to be able to do it with a little bit of charisma and a little bit of humor. You got to be able to poke fun at yourself.
Yeah.
And I don't know if
he does. He does take things too seriously.
Yeah.
I got to see if there's a funny side to him.
I don't know. I mean, nobody's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick. Let's put it that way. Nobody's going to be that level of self-deprecating.
I find him annoying.
He is. But there's a little bit of... There's a little bit of self-deprecation that goes too far because he tries to be like...
I like the McCourty brothers, both of them.
McCourty's are good. Whitworth is kind of meh to me. I like Sherman. I think Richard Sherman's really good.
That whole prime crew.
Yeah. Although it would be interesting to have Russ and Richard Sherman do the same game. Fuck you, Russ. Fuck you, Sherman. Let's go. But Russ would never do that. No, never. I don't know. He's gotta be able to kind of loosen up a little bit. Like A-Rod. Like, in the beginning, when A-Rod did Baseball Tonight, or when he did the K-Cast, he was very stiff. A-Rod was very stiff, very polished, had an image that he wanted to uphold, and just, like, that's how he came across on TV. It's like, he felt like he was holding back. Russ cannot feel like he's holding back. Like, he's got to let the personality come through. They're letting you on TV for a reason. Yes, it's the X's and O's, and you know what you're doing. Clearly, you're a veteran. You're an NFL veteran. You're a Super Bowl champion. You know what you're doing. You can communicate that in the huddle. Can you communicate it to Joe Schmo sitting on his couch, eating his wings and his pizza rolls? And can you stay engaged? Can you keep them engaged? We're going to find out. I think he's going to be good. I don't see next level. I don't see transcendent like what Romo started. Romo started out super hot. I don't see Russ reaching that level. So for that, excellent. A little too far. I'm going to go bullshit on that.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Instagram account at FadeRoute Podcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And whatever the vote gets a shout in this year's show takes on the coveted ass trophy because Elon Musk still has not fixed the X poll. Now, do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be the U.S. men's national team. I just got an email, said I've been cut. God damn it. Didn't even realize I was up. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, I'm starting off with forward on the Oklahoma City Thunder, Chet Holmgren.
Ooh.
Former first-round pick. In Game 7 at home, Holmgren, 4 points, 2 shots. No shot attempts in the second half. That's just a bad look, Chet. Bad look. Chet Holmgren, you are my lead superstar of the week. Number 2, outfielder for the San Diego Padres, Fernando Tatis Jr.
Woo!
He finally got his first home run of the season, and it's only June. He actually got it on May 30th. 21 million for one home run and 18 RBIs. Stunner. Fernando Tatis Jr., you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number 3, the New York Football Giants signing OBJ. Why? Why would you sign Odell Beckham Jr. at this juncture of his career? He can't get separation. He can't stay healthy. He runs his mouth too much. Isn't it enough of a circus with Carter, Dart, and Harbaugh? New York Football Giants, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Zeke?
All good choices. You really can't go wrong with those choices. I gotta start with Arsenal. Champions League final. You have penalties. You've taken it this far. Eberechi Eze, one of your better reserves, comes up, steps up to the plate, so to speak. And he's hesitating, and he's doing his skip, he's doing his hop, and he's faking. Faked himself so much, he missed wide left. Good job. And then, with the match on the line, with the Champions League title on the line, Gabriel skies the net. Premier League champs, bottle the Champions League. Well done. Well done. Arsenal, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Arne Slot. Little shout out for D'Lo here. Former manager of Liverpool, getting sacked over the weekend, and it did not look good. He was getting clowned by his former players on social media when they found out that he got fired. Cody Gakpo, one of Slot's favorites, put up the Ralph Wiggum "I'm in danger" meme. And then Mo Salah, who's been under fire all season, and there are rumors all season that he's gone, puts up the Wolf of Wall Street, "I'm not fucking leaving." Where there's smoke, there's fire. Methinks that this falls entirely on one Arne Slot. This looks and smells to high heaven. Liverpool and Arne Slot, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, I gotta go with Major League Baseball and the Players Association. The dog shit proposal put out by Major League Baseball and the counter proposal that wasn't much better from the Players Association. Do you guys want to work? Do you want to work like next year? Because if you don't, just tell me. Tell me you don't want to work and I'll stop paying attention now. Or I'll get knee surgery so I'll be ready for spring training. I don't mind being a scab. I have no problem being a scab. I don't know how you feel, D, but I have no problem suiting up and being a scab just to live out my dream of being a Major League Baseball player. 41-year-old catcher with bad knees. Let's go. Give me number seven. I'm ready. Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball Players Association, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DMZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.